This is NBC News, Bombs in the North.
NBC News presents a special program covering highlights of developments surrounding the United States air raids today on the outskirts of two major North Vietnamese cities. Here is NBC News correspondent, Garrick Utley.
The news out of Saigon this morning was not entirely unexpected.
American planes threw a major knockout punch at North Vietnam's petroleum storage areas today in two strikes, 2 miles from Haiphong and 3.5 miles from Hanoi. The twin attacks and columns of black smoke...
The raids came shortly after noon in Vietnam. In Haiphong, stores were closing and people were going home for their daily three-hour siesta. Suddenly, U.S. Navy jets from the aircraft carrier Constellation raced in towards the sprawling fuel storage tanks just 2 miles from the center of the port city. For 8 minutes, the jets devastated the target with rockets and 1,000-pound bombs. When they left, smoke was billowing 20,000 feet into the air, and the storage tanks, which held some 40% of North Vietnam's fuel, were almost completely destroyed. A few minutes later, Air Force planes swooped in on the fuel depots just outside Hanoi, North Vietnam's capital. For almost an hour, the jets flew through intense ground fire to hit their target 3 miles from downtown Hanoi. In all, over 60% of North Vietnam's fuel reserves were believed destroyed in the swift raids. One Air Force F-105 jet was shot down near Hanoi. Its pilot, Captain Murphy Neal of Louisiana, was captured after he bailed out. Today's attacks were the closest ever made to the large urban areas of Hanoi and Haiphong. The raids have caused widespread criticism around the world. The U.S. administration knew they would, and at a briefing in Washington today, Secretary of Defense Robert McNamara explained why the attacks were ordered.
The strikes against these petroleum facilities were initiated to counter a mounting reliance by North Vietnam on the use of trucks and powered junks to facilitate the infiltration of men and equipment from North Vietnam to South Vietnam. These strikes were aimed at the heart of the petroleum system, the major storage facilities, and the distribution apparatus. Together, they're intended to achieve the following military objectives. First, to neutralize at Haiphong the only existing North Vietnamese shore facility for offloading petroleum directly from tankers. This will force North Vietnam to seek alternatives, less efficient offloading facilities, and this means slowing down their offloading process and probably substantially restricting it. Haiphong, through the facility attack this morning, is estimated to have handled 95% of all imports of petroleum into North Vietnam. Secondly, we expect to have destroyed the contents of the major central storage facilities. Those facilities outside of Hanoi contained about 20% of the total storage capacity of the country, and those outside of Haiphong over 40%. Together, the three targets contained over 60% of the remaining storage capacity. Thirdly, the strikes are expected to cripple the major transshipment facilities, which were located in association with the petroleum storage dumps outside of Hanoi. I want to emphasize that every effort was made to prevent harm to civilians and to avoid destruction of non-military facilities. This was possible because the two larger facilities, one located 2 miles from Haiphong and 3 miles from Hanoi, were separated from build-up areas. The smaller target was located 1/2 mile from Do San. At Hanoi, the petroleum facilities are separated from the city proper by the Red River. All Navy and Air Force pilots participating in these strikes were specially briefed by their commanding officers on the importance of avoiding civilian and build-up areas. They were thoroughly familiarized with the targets and with the surrounding terrain. The strikes were carried out in good visibility, permitting clear visual identification of the targets and of the surrounding terrain. In summary, then, the decision to strike these targets was made to restrict and to make more costly the enemy's infiltration efforts. We believe this essential to help safeguard the freedom of South Vietnam and to save the lives of those South Vietnamese, Americans, Australians, New Zealanders, and Koreans who are fighting to ensure that freedom. The objectives of our bombing campaign in the North are threefold. First, we hoped it would, when it was initiated a year ago or a year and a half ago, act to raise the morale of the South Vietnamese forces, which were under very heavy attack by the Viet Cong and the North Vietnamese at the time. I think we accomplished that objective. Secondly, the program was designed to reduce the level of infiltration or substantially increase the cost of infiltration of men and equipment from the north to the south. There's no question but what we've substantially increased the cost. We estimate that today the North Vietnamese have been forced to divert over 200,000 people from their customary pursuits to the repair of the lines of communication associated with these infiltration routes. And thirdly, an objective of the bombing program was to show the North that as long as they continued their attempts to subvert and destroy the political institutions of the South, they would pay a price not only in the South, but in the North as well. Those were the objectives. They continue to be the objectives of the bombing program.
Military leaders have long been urging the bombing of North Vietnam's fuel depots. Over the past several weeks, President Johnson and other government officials had indicated that the raids would be carried out. When they were today, support for and criticism of the attacks were quick in coming. Nowhere was it more intense than in Washington. NBC News correspondent Robert McCormick reports.
Congressional reaction to the escalated bombing in North Vietnam was tinged just a little bit today with pique. Perhaps some congressional leaders had been warned in advance of what was coming, but others had not, and among those who had not were some of the most powerful of the leaders. Otherwise, the reactions were pretty much what might have been expected, except that the hawks were pleased and positively cooed, the doves were displeased and positively screamed. As examples, we begin with Chairman Fulbright of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Fulbright has questioned our Vietnamese policies for some months. Today, we ask him how he felt about the expanded bombing.
Well, I feel sad about it. I regret that the war seems to have been escalated in a major way. I think it will make it much more difficult to ever reach a negotiation for a compromise than that. The probabilities are it will now have to proceed to a total military victory.
Chairman Fulbright of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. On the other side was Republican Senator Griffin, a Michigan Republican, a brand new member of the Senate who served in the House and who was appointed to fill the Senate vacancy created when Democratic Senator McNamara died. Griffin had this to say.
I believe that, frankly, that knocking out these oil depots is a step that should have been taken months ago, and that if it had been taken, perhaps the draft calls wouldn't be as high as they are today.
Senator Griffin, a Michigan Republican. Switching sides again, we had Senator Church, the Idaho Democrat. We asked Church how he felt about the bombings.
Well, I feel that it's a larger dose of the same medicine that has already failed to cure the patient. Somewhere in North Vietnam, there's a plate glass window. No one knows where it is. But once broken, it will bring an intervention by China the same way that China decided to intervene in Korea. I think we cannot dismiss that danger. I don't suggest that this extension of the bombing will break the window. But I do suggest that it brings us another step closer to the window.
Senator Church of Idaho. Getting back to the side of the so-called hawks, we talked to Senator Tower, the Texas Republican. Tower was asked whether he thought the bombings would stop the war.
Well, I think it will stop the war. I think that if you destroy the enemy's capacity to wage war, you're going to bring the situation under control. I think we can then militarily secure South Vietnam. And I do not fear the intrusion of masses of Chinese ground troops. They're inhibited by the fact that they've got too much to lose.
Republican Senator Tower of Texas. It's interesting to note that the two senators we just heard from who were opposed to the bombing were Democrats, and the two in favor were Republicans. Robert McCormick, NBC congressional correspondent.
When President Johnson ordered today's raids, he knew that military gains would be countered by political and diplomatic setbacks, not only in Congress, but overseas as well. Some of the strongest reaction has come from one of the few supporters of American involvement in Vietnam, Great Britain. NBC News correspondent Ellie Abel reports from London.
The United States lost Britain's support in Vietnam today by insisting on the military need to bomb fuel tanks on the very edge of Hanoi and Haiphong. Neither Prime Minister Wilson nor any member of his government was prepared to say why Britain, after supporting the air attacks elsewhere in North Vietnam for 17 months, should have drawn the line at hitting the outskirts of Hanoi and Haiphong. But the line, in fact, was drawn as far back as last December when Wilson visited Washington. As a result, Britain's public move to disassociate itself from today's attacks should have come as no surprise to President Johnson. The Prime Minister in the Commons today expressed his regret over the latest bombing. He also told the House that he had advised Johnson in advance that if the raid went ahead, he would, in his own words, feel bound to reaffirm that we must disassociate ourselves from an action of this kind. Labor's left wing, which has become increasingly critical of Wilson's support for the U.S., welcomed the Prime Minister's statement, but complained it did not go far enough. The left wingers would be satisfied with nothing less than a total denunciation of the Vietnam War and the U.S. part in it. Wilson did not go so far. He said he still believed the U.S. was right to help defend those Vietnamese who do not wish to be ruled by communists. He blamed Hanoi for rejecting peace talks. Thus, Wilson was not breaking with President Johnson. He was making known his disagreement with a specific military plan to strike at or near the North Vietnamese capital and its chief port. Ellie Abel, NBC News, London.
The significance of today's attacks on the fuel depots near Hanoi and Haiphong is not to be found in what the raids themselves mean, but rather in what people think they mean. Taken by themselves, the attacks are simply another step in the military escalation of the war. The extension of previous raids against dams, electric power plants, and fuel dumps elsewhere in North Vietnam. But the raids mean something quite different politically and in terms of world reaction. For over a year, the United States did not bomb the heavily populated and industrialized area around Hanoi and Haiphong. It was a sanctuary of our own making, a test of American intentions in Vietnam. Today's raids, therefore, have led many to assume that the United States intends to go all the way in the war, that this country is now locked into a policy of indefinite escalation, which will lead, at the best, to a prolonged war in Vietnam, and at worst, to a war with Communist China. This will not necessarily happen. It does not have to happen. Nevertheless, it is the popular impression to today's developments. It is the political price the United States has had to pay for today's military raids. Garrick Utley, NBC News, New York.
You have been listening to Bombs in the North, an NBC News special covering developments in the wake of American air raids on North Vietnam today. This program was produced by James L. Holton, directed by Jeffrey Culliver. This is NBC.